be gone forever. So it's a real expendable situation. But that's what they plan on doing. And they plan on doing one after the other. And they think they, you know, they, this will be their system of getting to not only to the moon, but eventually to Mars. And in fact, there is one interplanetary mission plan with the Artemis system. And it's called the Europa Clipper. I've been talking with Sam about this, KC2SAM. And, talk about the update on the Europa Clipper. That's a mission that will eventually go to Jupiter and will orbit Jupiter constantly. But it will be highly elliptical, where when it comes in close, it'll be passing Europa all the time. That's why they call it the Europa Clipper. It'll be going very close to Europa and taking pictures and, you know, instruments on board. And then when it goes far away outside of the radiation area of Jupiter, it'll transmit back to Earth all the data. And they'll do this over and over, like 40 different times over you know, a couple of years. Because the idea is to get good information about Europa. Europa has to, it happens to be, you know, pretty close to Jupiter. It's within side the radiation belts of Jupiter. So you can't leave a spacecraft in orbit too long around Europa. It would have to be so heavily shielded that it would probably be very impractical to launch it. Would probably be too heavy. Anyway, they plan on getting Europa Clipper to Jupiter is with this Artemis SLS system. Plan up, you know, instead of an Orion spacecraft on top, they plan on putting the a fairing situation where you can put the spacecraft inside and launch it directly to Jupiter with a Holloman transfer system instead of using, you know, other planets. Sometimes they use Earth as a gravity assist. They won't need that with this thing. This thing is so powerful. That, you know, instead of taking whatever time it normally would take with gravity assist of Earth to increase its speed, you won't need that. You know, if that would normally would take 6 years to get there, this would do it, you know, 4 years. Cut back on the time it would take to actually get to Jupiter. Anyway, if there's any questions or comments, I'll stand by. This is WS2N for the Space Network Report. Name here is Paul for the TechNet. Okay, we have a few other topics, but they're not important right now. We can get to them next week. They're not imminent. I try to cover things that are happening or that have just happened recently. Could always go on from that. So that's pretty much it. We'll turn it back to Roy, and if somebody has a question, I will be on the ClubNet tomorrow night, which is always on at 8:30 on these repeaters, followed by the Flop and Shot Shop with George does that, and couple of good nets, and that always is followed by Newsline, which you can find out what's going on not only in this country but the rest of the world. Back to Roy, AC2GS. This is WS2X.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Paul, for the SpaceNet report. This is AC2GS, and the clock on the wall says 11:04, so time to call it a night. Once again, I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. Certainly want to thank Paul, WS2N, and Andy, WA2CDL, but also the other people who checked in and participated, had questions, had answers, had comments. We had some lively conversations, and I enjoyed them, and I hope that everyone out there enjoyed them. Want to remind people, once again, before we shut her down, if you have any questions or topics or puzzles that you'd like me to share, or you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder and ask him to make a comment about something, and you can't get on to the net proper, radio-wise, you can always email me at mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, the call sign is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. So that's mailbag@ac2gs.com. Links are available to all kinds of interesting web stories that I was going to talk about but didn't have the chance. So go to the link page, roy.ac2gs.com, and take a look at those. And keep in mind that if you need to hear what's going on W2VL and you don't have a radio but you got a cell phone with an internet connection, right now these days I'm streaming it through the internet pretty much 24/7. Just point your browser at technet.ac2gs.com and you'll be able to hear the live stream. And I want to remind everyone once again, MyKC2NJI has been maintaining this great archive site of the TechNet that go as far back as September of 2006, so please avail yourself of that. As always, I want to end this with some wise words from a very wise man, Dick K2RIW. He would often end the show asking people to please be kind to each other. And that's good advice any time, but especially these days. Thousands are dying every day of this virus. The vaccine is slowly ramping up, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but it still requires you to be intelligent and safe and take care of yourself and your family and your friends. So please, do so. Be safe, be well, and I hope you're all back here next Sunday night when we'll try and do this all over again. So this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, and I'll be going clear.
Yeah, I wonder who the station was with the V antenna that isn't inverted that was trying to get on the air. I wonder if you're still here. WB2BXL.
That station was KV2.
Yeah, it was George, KD2VCQ.
Pardon the slow response. I have to wait for the repeater to drop before EchoLink will let me key. KD2VCQ, are you there? WB2BXL via EchoLink. KD2 from WB2BXL. All right, Roy. Too bad. Couldn't easily get in here earlier. I was busy with some other things. Anyway, I don't think the difficulty is so much his fault. Conditions are still quite poor because we're still near the low end of the sunspot cycle, and of course almost any suburban area is a noisy location now. I was on HF earlier using their remote station on the wilds of Connecticut overlooking the ocean somewhere, and I don't think I heard any, I don't think there were very many signals over S7. So for an apartment class station, signals are probably buried in the noise. WB2BXL.
Well, it might be that, you know, certainly with 10 and 15 and such, 20 and 40 theoretically is about as, you know, good as it generally gets, I guess. The problem with the lower frequencies is his height. He's still way too close to ground for a horizontally oriented antenna radiator. And by the way, KC2SHO, John, welcome back. It's been too long. I hope things are going well for you in Los Alamos.
Okay.
Billy. Thanks, it's good to be back. Don't know if you heard my comments earlier. It's been rearranging in the office, disconnected the node, and it was just sitting there collecting dust. I still don't have really room for it and need to probably do some serious rearranging, organizing, building. But the houses are small out here in this town. You don't get a lot for your money. Anyway, good to be back. Glad to hear the net, and hopefully I'll be here next week as well. EC2, GSKC2, I see Joe.
Okay, I hope so. Part of my duties is I check Echolink, I check IRLP, I check the chat room, I check the mail server, all kinds of fun stuff as I'm discussing photons with Wesley.
Yeah, that's fun conversation. You know, we do a lot of that type of science out here, so I don't know if anyone local listens, especially since I haven't had it on for quite a few, I guess, months now. But, soon I want to, maybe when the weather breaks, I keep saying it, I'll get some antennas on the roof and get this thing out to the whole town. Maybe we'll get some more interest from the local hands. If you drive around Los Alamos and White Rock, you see a lot of antennas, so we have a lot of ham radio operators here. It would be nice to get some of them involved.
Yeah, I'd love it. The more the merrier, plus these, you know, some actual physicists. I'm just playing one on the radio, if you will. And, you know, at least they'll know what I'm talking about when I talk about lepton numbers and such.
Yeah, we have a lot of smart people in this town. I gotta be careful sometimes if I start pretending like I know what I'm talking about. I could easily be making a fool of myself.
Yeah, once or twice I wandered into Reddit to ask a question, and they were so incredibly dismissive and unfriendly that I haven't been back there again. So it's the internet is a dangerous thing psychologically.
Yeah, you'll have that instead of being helpful, just being what's the right term for that? They just want to shut everyone down. They're smarter than everyone, right? But I have a solid opinion that you can learn something from anyone. Just give them a chance, you know.
Yeah, I have a kind of running discussion, argument, what have you, with a fellow ham who asks everyone the same question and kind of makes some kind of balanced judgment based on everyone. And I kind of point out that the guys who, you know, never owned the thing, never used the thing, don't really have terribly useful information on the subject, but he kind of thinks that it balances out on the average.
Yeah, well, it's also your way of handling such things, if I'm understanding it correctly, you know. The way you respond, the words you use, the personality you portray, you know, all these things matter.
Well, you know, one of the unfortunate realities I have found over the years is that there are nice people, there are not nice people. But that doesn't correlate at all with smart or stupid people. There are nice smart people, there are nice stupid people, there are nice people in the middle, there are nasty, stupid people, there are nasty people in the middle, and there are nasty, incredibly smart people. And so I would probably rather discuss something with a kind of a normal intelligence than a particularly very smart guy who just has a chip on his shoulder and an attitude. Sometimes it could be a remarkable attempt at figuring something out when you have... There was a guy on ham radio years ago that I listened to once who told people, I assume with a straight face, that people had to go through a test before he would give them his wisdom, because not everyone was worthy of it.
How does he fit his head through the door? I don't know. All right, real good. I don't know if I have anything else, but yeah, it is good to be back and hear the net again. Sorry for the long time away, but also we had a new baby girl, 3 months old now, so still recovering from that. And well, you never really recover, I guess. You just accept this new thing and keep on moving.
Congratulations, a new harmonic, yeah. Even after the wedding, you know, she's always there, a blessing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. We have two boys already, so a girl definitely will balance things out a little bit. She's a riot, and she's a drama queen already.
That's nice. It's nice to have balance to a family. You don't want it imbalanced.
Very true. Well, I hope your family is happy and healthy, and everyone else on the net as well. I better run for now. I got a few things to do before bedtime, and back to work again tomorrow. AC2GS, always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll talk again real soon. This is KC2SHO.
Likewise, John. Be well, be safe, and hopefully we'll chat again next Sunday. Frank, out there in Echo Link land, anything to say before I call tonight?
Yeah, very good. I thought, ESO, as it was also coming through on Echo Link from Los Alamos, or is he back here now? All I had to do was look at the display. I didn't, in any case, yeah, the only comment was I just wanted to comment to the fella who was very disappointed that his antenna to work. I think it was part of it is for horizontal antenna. He's too low, so he's getting NVIS characteristics, non-vertical incident. I don't think I'll be accurate. I'm too tired. Non-vertical incident sky wave. I think the term is anyway, and it's essentially a cloud warmer. That may be part of it. But I think the other element is relatively poor band conditions and also relatively low activity on HF now. And those are kind of my words with wisdom for the evening. Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's near vertical incident sky wave. And you know, the problem is, unfortunately, I wish he had come here to discuss his plans to get that antenna. It's not the most efficient. I mean, it's basically a shortened, loaded, multi-trapped V. So that's not really the most efficient. You know, it's a compromise antenna, and if that's all you can fit in, then that's all you can fit in. But it's not something to aspire to, unfortunately.
Well, I've used compromise antennas virtually my whole hand career, often in apartment settings. That's the best you can do. It's either that or, you know, let time on a remote site, or use one of the remotes that are available on the air, either through Echo Link or a couple of sites where people will just let you use them when they're not using them. Just keep in mind, like anything else, you get what you pay for.
If you're lucky, you get what you pay for. If you're not lucky, some thief has taken way too much money for stuff that isn't worth it. But yeah, I understand. You know, everything's a compromise. It's just that this is a little bit excessively compromised. I mean, horizontal with low elevation, loading coils that decrease the radiation resistance, traps that lower the gain and efficiency. It's just kind of a compounded kind of compromise on top of a compromise on top of a compromise.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what's interesting. I've noticed that the hams in Britain, from what I understand and what I recall in my trips there in the 70s and 80s, where it's extremely difficult to get permission from the municipality to put up an antenna of any kind. There seems to be quite a few who operate entirely mobile and portable. Somebody who's more familiar with the current situation is welcome to jump in here and correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, with the warning, I can hear some of those guys using mobile antennas at 100 watts on the 40 and 80 meter sideband. I'm not sure I've ever worked one of them. But I can hear them above the noise level here. So, I mean, it's kind of amazing what you can do at the right time of day with a compromised antenna. And I made some amazing contacts myself with a vertical antenna, with a lousy SWR, with no radials, with just a ground rod in Brooklyn. And I used to work the world on that, even on 40 meters. So if you're patient and you know how to do it, you can do a lot with a compromised antenna.
Yeah, I mean propagation can do practically miracles. A good location near a body of water, and you take a few watts and talk to a lot of people. The problem is with the general efficiency of these shortened, loaded hamsticks that are in a lot of mobile stations is you only get about 4 or 5% efficiency, but you put 100 watt in, you get 4 or 5 watts out. If the location is right, that's all that you need to get the RF to bounce around and land in interesting places.
Yeah, I know. I think it was NCKA, Art, who had a large station at one time and eventually moved into a very restricted situation, would drive his Opel to Canarsie Pier when he heard of their station in Asia on and make the contact and go home. I left on Spot Peak as that with a friend of mine on one of the piers in Brooklyn, and we used to work at Japanese stations with an ICOM 703 and the mobile with 5 watt sideband radio. So when conditions are right, you can do amazing things. If you're a new ham and you don't have a lot of operating experience, it can be very, very discouraging, and I know that from experience also.
Well, sometimes it works both ways. I've known new guys who are thrilled with static and random reception that guys who've been in the hobby have lost the patience for. So, it depends upon your patience. If you have good technique and a lot of patience, you can do great things. I keep telling the story of this guy who went on to manufacture and sell antennas. At one point, he took a 100-watt light bulb, stuck it on a wooden fence post, and ended up getting a worked all state certificate, just using that as his antenna for that purpose. So, technique and patience. But some guys who have a lot of technique have lost their patience. So, you never know how it works out.
Yeah, amen to that. That's very true. I'm amazed at what a friend of mine does with one of these hamstick type antennas on balcony in the San Francisco Bay Area. He's got a more or less over the water shot across the Pacific, and he's tired of working JAs with 100 watts and the whip. He's a very careful and patient experimenter. I don't think 99% of hams could do what he does with a very limited station.
Yeah, and it's sort of a shame that they get kind of disappointed, and it ruins the experience. Some people, if they don't get the success the first few times, it sours them to the whole hobby, and that's terrible when I see it. I try and caution people that, there's ebbs, there's flows, there's good days, there's terrible days, if you don't succeed, you try again. I still remember an incredibly eager guy who had just joined Kings County Radio Club about 6 months before I had. He had gotten his tech license. He had arranged to have his grandfather's call sign, who had passed away, given to him. And he took his beat-up radio to a hilltop and set everything up and sat there for the better part of half a day and didn't make a single contact, but he was still happy about it.
Yeah, well, hopefully by next year sunspots will start coming up again, and it'll be possible to work the world with a piece of wire again on 10 meters. One physicist is apparently predicting that we're going to have a peak comparable to 1958 or 1968. Most other physicists seem to disagree with him, and they're saying that, no, this is going to be more like the last peak, which was in 2013, which was sort of so-so, but stayed pretty high for a while. So we'll see what happens. So far, I'm disappointed. I haven't seen very much in the way of propagation yet. I did work JD1MBH on 20CW a week ago Saturday, and that's about the only Asian contact I've had in a while. So I some good days, but it's still kind of disappointing.
Well, I mean, the last peak was kind of a low amplitude double peak over almost 2 years, but we're just kind of climbing out of the minimum. So we had a particularly nice day on 10 meters about 3 months ago, where I was talking to Arizona, New Mexico, the Midwest, and such. But that was an unusual situation. You just have to give it more time. And I don't believe in any of these predictions. I used to read the Wall Street Journal, and they used to have this thing where people put in their predictions, and if they scored high, they got published. And I noticed as time went on, different people, no one won consecutively. It was always randomly different people, and that's because it was a random event, and none of these guys had the faintest idea what they were talking about. So I think, unfortunately, when it comes to the magnitude and characteristic of solar cycles. We know so little about it that even the guys with PhDs are just guessing.
More observations now. There's a new solar telescope in Hawaii making observations. There are a couple of new Parker Solar Probe making observations now. There's a Stereo 8 satellite making observations from parts of the sun we cannot see from Earth. And so they have a lot more in the way of observational information now. There's also been some more research correlating the sunspots cycles with tidal forces from the planets, which, if accurate, should make much more accurate predictions possible. So there's a lot. Hopefully, this cycle will have a lot more information. And yeah, I know I picked up a couple of I think one or two new countries on 10 meters back in November. I think I need 14 more confirms to have a DXCC confirmed on 10 meters, and then I'll just need 80 meters for 5-band DXCC, which would really be a hoot. And this winter has been disappointing on 80 meters. It doesn't look like I'm going to get it this winter. That's been the one thing I've noticed with the sunspots client, with the sunspots beginning to go up again, is that 80 and 160 are not as good. Go ahead.
Well, that's the magic of our hobby. Not everything can work well simultaneously. If you want to be able to tell fish stories about 10 meters, you got to kiss off 80 meters, unfortunately. So, yeah. Yeah, things change. It's nice. The newbie guys kind of say, well, which band is good, which band is bad? And I ask them where in the calendar he is, because they kind of think it's a constant in the universe, and it's anything but. So, yeah, you take it the way it comes. That if it was predictable, there would be far less hobbyists out there. It's the unpredictableness that draws some of us in to these things. For me, it's more of the technology. I really like to wrap my brain around how all these damn electrons do the stuff that they do. But for other people, it's the challenge, and I understand that.
I'm back, WA2CDO.
Welcome back, Andrew.
But I'm not in my corner, so you don't... I'm back to normal.
Okay, the show's over, so you could have left your corner at any time. So I thank you for your presentation, and I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I do, because I'm, I'm conveying information to people who, you know, didn't know how this stuff works, or how... where radio waves go and how, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, that's all it is. I'm staying away from math. I could get into some, deeper math reading, but of course that'll clog up a lot of things, you know. I don't want, including myself, especially at my age. So it's amazing how much I've forgotten, but that's, math-wise, but that's okay. Because I don't use it that much. What do I need it for? You reach a point in life when you already you have your job and you have everything you need, and what else do you want? It's not like I'm looking for a career anymore. Although, you got to keep busy. You can't... The key to staying young is, number one, eat a lot of pasta. That's what Tommy Lasorda said, you know, the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who just passed away. Eat a lot of pasta, let everything out, don't hold things inside you, so express yourself and exercise. Those are the keys. and wear a mask. Roy? And who are you talking to?
I am talking to Frank, WB2BXO. He is on Echo Link. He is located in Philadelphia.
What are you doing all the way out in Philadelphia? You should be here.
Yes, Frank, WB2BXO in Philadelphia. I'm a refugee from Brooklyn. Used to be active at Roy's Club in KCRC. In fact, I should get on there. And are your meetings on Zoom these days, Roy? I should look on the website and pop in on Zoom and say hello to everyone.
We tend to hold them on WebEx. I'll try and remember and send you a link over email when it gets published. Matter of fact, Frank and I had the same office. Frank used to be the secretary of the club. Now I'm the secretary of the club.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Frank? Yeah, this is Andy. I think we spoke. I think you lived in Forest Hills. Or somewhere in Queens. Okay, very good. And, I was watching the news, and then I came up here, and I'm about to go to sleep pretty soon. At least I'll go to bed and I'll read. I like to read when I go to bed, take a book with me or something, usually something technical I can bring to bed and go from there. All right. What else did I want to say? I guess that's about it. Oh, I should be getting my crystal tomorrow. I ordered a crystal, which is an ST-243 crystal for my Clegg 2-meter radio. I found it on eBay, and it finally arrived here with the post office. I should be getting it tomorrow. Yeah, Frank, I'll give it back to you.
If I just went through a time warp and I'm listening to the Landmark Repeater from the 1970s, and somebody's telling me they just got a crystal for their Clegg 22er. You gotta be kidding. That is from the past. In fact, I think a Clegg 22er was an obsolete radio when I got my license.
Well, let me just tell you, you know, you're not dreaming. At least, I don't think you are. No, I actually, I have a Clegg 22 that I picked up years ago, and I finally fixed it up. I got it working. And the reason why is because we have what's called a dinosaur net. And you heard me right. It's called... It's a dinosaur 2-meter net, which was started about 10 years ago on a frequency of 145 megs. We're down at 145 on AM. It's an AM net. And people who check in use dinosaur radios like this Clegg 22. So, I have a crystal inserted, but it's not quite on the right frequency, so I found one on eBay, which is on the correct frequency, so I bought it. I could put a VFO on the radio, but I didn't. So, this is one of a few dinosaur radios that I own. I have a Holocrafters, and I have a Gonset, and I have an Amico, maybe a few others. These are 2-meter AM radios, transceivers, or transmitters. This one is a transceiver. So if you're familiar, you sound like you're familiar with the 22. They also made a 66er, which is a 6-meter version, which is exactly identical. only 6 meters. So anyway, that's why I said. So if you ever want to check into the Dinosaur Net, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Thursday night at 7 o'clock on 145 megacycles. That's it. Roy, back to you.
Okay, but you got to keep in mind that Frank's still in Philadelphia. That's a heck of a stretch for AM.
It's a heck of a stretch for me. I'm only running about 10 watts.
Okay, but you can imagine what kind of a stretch it would be, 2 meters AM for Philadelphia what is it, Nassau County is where most of you guys hang out?
We only have 3 check-ins. That's it. Yeah, Nassau County. I'm using a beam up in my attic until I get the beam on my tower. And it works. It's high enough. All right, Frank, back to you.
Steve, my first time actually talking on these things. Bumped into you guys and just thought this was an interesting conversation. I'm in Suffolk County.
Welcome aboard. What's your call sign?
KD2FFD.
Welcome aboard. What's your first name?
My name is Rick. I think I heard somebody's name is Frank, and I don't know the other two's name. Like I said, I'm pretty new at this. I'm working off of Baofeng UV5R, and actually had my license for about 5 years, I think, but kind of got disappointed. I was listening to your conversation. I was one of those people that kind of got disappointed, wasn't able to speak with anybody on this, and I think this is my first time I've spoken with anybody, period.
Well, congratulations then, Rick. My name is Roy. The other gentleman is Andy, WA2CDL. My call sign is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. And I run a technical net. I don't know if you're aware of it. This repeater is run by Limark. We do a technical net from 8 o'clock to 11. So, you know, if you ever have any technical questions and you want to share them with us, that's what we do every Sunday night.
Well, I really appreciate that. Is that running 8 to 11 on you said Sunday nights, right?
Yes, indeed. Every Sunday night we do it. We do a TechNet technical questions for the first hour or so. Andy does a presentation. Then we do a SpaceNet report, and we wrap it up after 11 p.m.
I really appreciate that, and I thought you had a club, too, or is that just what the club is? It just runs from the 8 to 11, or is there something else beyond that?
No, this repeater, 146.850, and there are others in their group, is Limark, Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club. They have a bunch of different nets. Every Monday night at 8:30, they have an info net where they discuss business. On Wednesday, the third and fourth Wednesday of the month, they have a computer net. And once a month, when there's 5 Wednesdays, they do a trivia net. And it's a club. There's a website. There's all kinds of activities. When we're not being attacked by a pandemic, it's a very functional club. It has 300 plus members. I am also a member of Kings County Radio Club, which is based in Brooklyn, New York. It has about 95, 96 members these days as well.
Well, that sounds really nice. I'm actually checking you guys out on my smartphone right now.
Okay, you know, it's a nice group. I mean, I think most amateur radio groups are basically good, decent people, and they want to help each other because we were helped, and and so we pass it on to the next guy.
I could certainly use help because I don't remember any of the rules or or whatever else there is. All I know is that I'm supposed to call my call sign every, I don't know, in the beginning when I talk and then say over when I'm done. So beyond that, I'm a newbie for sure.
Okay, you'll pick it up over time. I always tell people that they should listen at least 10 times more than they should talk on the radio. That seems to be a good ratio from my experience. And you pick up the rules and regulations. God forbid you break one of the minor ones. There'll be some guy who will helpfully adjust you. So don't worry about it. Like I said, we're all here to help each other. And again, if you have any technical questions, I'm sure people on the repeater will be helpful. But if you want to take it to the technical net, that's one of the many reasons why we're there.
Really appreciate it.
Okie doke, Rick. Andy, Frank, it's been a pleasure as always. I'm going to call it quits for tonight. I don't have anything scheduled until my other TechNet Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on KC2RC. So I bid you all a fond adieu, have a safe week, and we'll chat again.
Take care. Rick is out over here, KD2FFT.
Okay, very good. I'm going to sign also. And hit the sack, as they say. So we'll talk to you this week. And I enjoyed tonight's little dissertation. We'll continue next week with more stuff. There's always stuff. See you later, WHCDM. I'm saying goodbye to Frank, WB2BXO, in good old Philadelphia. See you later, guys. Roy, back to you. I'm clear.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious how far people think Philadelphia is from New York, when it's actually closer than parts of Long Island are to Manhattan. Anyway, 7-3. Roy, see who to send me a WebEx link, and I'll try to get on. I haven't used WebEx in a while. Night, Roy. I gotta go finish a project for a client in the morning. WB2BXO, 7-3.
Okay. Good night. Pleasant dreams to all listening. Be safe. Once again, this is AC2GS, and I will be clear.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
HY Mobile listening.
Good morning, Steve. WHCDL. How are you doing today?
WA2CDL, KA2IHY. Not too bad, Andy. I'll be going into the office all week. Not because I have to, because it's easier to do the work I have to do. I got some of these online meetings, you know, virtual meetings. And because I have two displays hooked up to the computer, it's a lot easier to do it rather than with one screen and struggle at home. So, onward I go. How are you doing?
Okay, very good. Yeah, it's good to go in. It breaks up the monotony of staying home all the time. Although today, I got a couple of things to do. I don't have to go into the office and right now I'm caught up with everything that I've been doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call my doctor around 9 o'clock or so and see if I can make an appointment to get the vaccine. I want to get that as quickly as possible. And I should be able to because of the work that I do with New York City Transit. So we'll see. At least I'll get the appointment set up. So I want to do that. Then I have to go to the bank and do some transactions there. And, yeah, it turns out that the guy who actually hired me for my job, and, you know, I speak to him all the time, he's got the virus. And he's kind of surprised because he's been home for months without even going out. And he's not been around crowds, he's not been around people. He has food delivered to his house. He's 76. And, you know, he's got some underlying medical conditions already. And we're talking, I found out from another coworker that he came down with the virus and he didn't even know he had it. He was tested and it turned out positive. So he went into the, they actually put him in the hospital. And they gave him a medication, he couldn't pronounce the name of it, it's something new, and it seemed to have helped relieve the symptoms, and now he's recovering, so he'll be okay, but it was scary because he had no idea he even had it, and he had no idea how he even got it, since he's been home, so he suggested to me that stay home, don't even go out right now with what's going on, because he said it's really bad. This is in New Jersey, by the way.
Wow, that's amazing. Two situations. One, that he hasn't been out, so how did he get it? And that he has very mild or no symptoms, especially in someone in their 70s. You know, when this thing first started, yeah, if you got it and you were in your 70s or older, chances are you weren't going to survive.
Well, that's why they put him into the hospital immediately. And again, you know, this drug that they gave him worked wonders on him. He was he didn't think that it was going to do what it did. He couldn't pronounce the name of it, but it's something new, a new treatment. I asked him if he's got the vaccine. He said no. They're holding off until he gets back to normal. I spoke to him on the phone yesterday, and he sounded good. Yeah. So he has no idea how he came in contact. And he says even handling money, which is kind of strange, but I brought that up because he gets food delivered to his house, and he says sometimes he pays the delivery guy with money, and it could be. He said make sure if you touch something, sanitize your hands as often as you can. Even touching something, he thinks that he might have touched his face or his mouth after touching something else, but not sure. Anyway, I'm going to see if I can get the vaccine as quickly as possible for me. Because I've been going out, I've been, you know, shopping and everything else. And he says, you got to be extra careful now.
I wonder what changed in his area that he's saying, you know, being extra careful now as opposed to throughout this whole thing. Did something get worse? Although I have a good friend of mine that has been ultra cautious throughout and continues to be so. I would say I'm sort of middle of the road. I mean, we do go out. I'm going out right now. We do shop. But sanitizing the hands, you know, that's very important. No question about it.
Yeah, I know there's been a surge in infection rates in New Jersey. I don't know if it's his area or not.